Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
Very last in-season show. 'Tis a bittersweet moment here on Fantasy NBA Today. The off-season comes for us all, ladies and gentlemen. It comes for us all. And the off-season is coming. But luckily, you have nothing to fear because we do shows all off-season long here on Fantasy NBA Today. I'm Dan Vespers, by the way. It's a sportsethos.com presentation. We will have shows every Monday through Friday all off-season long. I'm sure there'll be a day I miss here and there, but yeah, the hell's counting. So, before we dive into today's very last weekend review episode of the show, I would ask all of you, please navigate over either to YouTube or to a traditional podcast channel, podcast app on your mobile device, iTunes, Spotify, whatever it happens to be, and subscribe to Fantasy NBA Today. Because your boy Dano here has got to pay some bills. And no, but more than that, it really sucks to do shows in the off season when there's only a handful of you that are watching. I mean, it's part of why I gravitate away, I think, from doing the live video in the off season, because nobody's watching fantasy NBA stuff between mid-April and like mid-July, late July, something like that. It's really, or August, honestly. So not every show is going to be live video. Some of the shows, I'm going to have my kids home on summer break. I'm just going to try to jam in here. I might have to record it in three little 7-minute chunks and edit it together. Those shows are going to go on traditional channels only. So please do find a way to subscribe. I'd love to have you guys along with me for the off season. It just feels so much better to have a nice chunk of our listenership, our viewership, whatever, throughout the downtimes, because we all missed Fantasy NBA when it's gone, and it's a little bit easier. We miss it just a little bit less if we're missing it together. I know. Sentimentality. With that out of the way, your very last week in review show. What do we got here? All right, technical difficulties. Let's get into the actual meat of this thing. It's the final week in review episode. We're going to cover stories from this week of play. And I got a couple new little wrinkles partway through. If you guys follow on Twitter at Dan Vespers, you guys have already seen the wrinkles, but maybe it's better if you get surprised. So let's dive in. Please like, rate, review, follow, subscribe, whatever you got to do. Let's talk fantasy basketball. Injury replacements. Yes, we're starting with injury replacements today, like we've been doing the last few episodes of our weekly shows, because frankly, it gets the most names out of the way. And also, it answers the question before you ask it, which is, why isn't so-and-so on so-and-so list? That comes up all the time. So now we knock those names out on the injury replacement board. You guys understand where I'm coming from. I'll give a little more explanation to these names now because they do come at the front end, and some of them are obviously just, you know, they've been rest of season ads for 3, 4, 5 weeks or whatever it is. But again, yes, I get a little bit caught up in the minutia of this stuff, but you know what? You've come along this far. This apparently doesn't drive you all that batty. We'll continue on that front. So a couple of the sort of, you know, start in all formats, out for the season situations. Amen Thompson in Houston with Alperen Şengün out. That's been a pretty easy one. He's dominating. Naz Reid with Kat out in Minnesota, although it does sound like Kat might squeeze back into the mix here before the regular season's over. I still don't think that I would pull Naz Reid from your lineup. He's been too good. And there's almost no way that they roll Kat at 35 minutes here these final couple of ball games, even if he does play. And then Josh Hart, who has been a freaking revelation with Julius Randle out. And I am so fortunate that I picked him up in the vast majority of my Roto leagues. Thank goodness for that. He's been amazing. Funny thing, he's still under top 125 on the year, despite what he's done with Randle out. And some of that's because the field goal percent has been bad and the free throw percent has fluctuated a bit. But he's averaging a double-double with six assists over the last month and a steal. That's been fun. Shout out Josh Hart for your continued fantasy service and for playing like 46 minutes a game for a while in there. But those are the out for the season ones. Here are some of the other names on the board. I'm still playing Kelly Oubre Jr. in Philly until they give me a reason not to. It seems like he can coexist with Embiid. We haven't seen a whole lot of Oubre with Embiid and Maxi lately, at least. They've been kind of alternating which star plays, but I'm playing Oubre until, again, they give me a reason not to, and he's been able to fill in here for DeAnthony Melton, so the role is open, and it just comes down to how many shots he's going to get. But we're so close to the end of the damn season, I don't know that anything massive is going to change right now, other than, okay, what if Tobias Harris and Maxi and Embiid are all healthy at the same time? Are there enough shots for Oubre left at that point? Maybe, but I think I'm willing to give it a shot. A few names out of Boston. Al Horford, obviously, if any of the other centers, or frankly, if any player is out for the Celtics, but they've been resting guys in groups. So it's Horford plus Sam Hauser, or Horford plus Peyton Pritchard. Or if Horford is also resting, then you've got a possible Pritchard plus Hauser situation. And unfortunately, we just can't know until Boston drops their final injury report before the ball game. Sadly, that's as much as we can do on this show. Like, I'd love to be able to, like, I could give you all the combinations and permutations you like, but until we actually know who's in and who's out, you just kind of have to sit on it. So, like, let's say Porzingis and Horford are out. Great, you can play Hauser. That's an easy one. But let's say if Porzingis and Derek White are out, then you go Horford plus Pritchard, probably. What if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are out, but then the other guys play? I mean, in all honesty, like, likelihood here is that Porzingis is going to six. I think he played yesterday, if I'm remembering right. So Porzingis and then Tatum or something like that. Okay, you go Horford, you go Hauser. So there's this mix and match thing that has to happen there, and we won't know for a couple more hours today and or Sunday. You can use this for your Sunday matchups as well. Shemezi Metu out in Detroit has been a very nice fill-in option. His last ball game was only kind of okay, and he was still pretty good. That's with Fontecchio out and, of course, Oscar Thompson, who's been out for a while as well. Seems like those guys are just out for the year at this point. Delano Banton in Portland, I put, again, same as last week, I put just put the word all in parentheses because everybody for the Blazers is out except DeAndre Ayton, and Banton's been getting enough usage to be good enough even to kind of conquer the fact that his percentages suck. Corey Kispert with Kuzma out in Washington. That's a pretty easy one. We've talked about that for like 6-7 weeks in a row. Kuzma's been bouncing in and out of the lineup. Javante Green with Ayo Dosunmu out in Chicago. And now, of course, with Andre Drummond out as well, it just does get a little bit easier for Green to find those minutes because the Bulls are going to have no choice but to go a little bit bigger. He's not going to be amazing for you, but he's going to be a low-end power forward type line, which is a few points, some rebounds, probably get you a little bit on the defensive side. Percentages are not going to be like a center, but they're not going to be like a guard. And you roll with it. If Wemby misses any more ball games here this last weekend, Zach Collins is the fill-in there. That's a pretty easy and obvious one. Julian Champagny with Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson and Jeremy Sochan out. I mean, you can put whatever laundry list of names on the Spurs out. Sounds like Kyrie or Luka or possibly both for the Mavs might miss a game this weekend. Tim Hardaway Jr. has been the fill-in when that has happened in the past. I didn't really know where to file Noah Clowney on this board, so I put him in the injury replacement list because his last couple of ball games have come and they've been better, make no mistake. They've been a lot better. He had a 7-block ball game his last time out, and it's come with Dorian Finney-Smith on the shelf. He's played 35 and then 38 minutes. He didn't block any shots in the first of those two games, but he appears to be a pretty good rebounder. And again, we're kind of going with this whole, like, well, what the hell do we know so far situation with him. The answer is not much. He's averaging 0.7 blocks in 14 minutes of ball game, which is heavily influenced by his 7-block ball game the last time out. And he had a 4-block game on April 6th, which is 3 games back. Prior to that, he had 1, 2, 3, 4 blocks on the season. And he has 11 in his last, well, let's see. I guess we got to add all three of those ball games together. 58, 59 minutes, 89, about 97-ish minutes. He has 11 blocks in 97 minutes, and he had 4 in his previous, it's not that much less than, not that much more than 97. Pretty close, actually, to 97. Probably like 115, 120, something like that. Actually, we can figure this out. I did the first part of the math. Let's look at how many minutes he's played total this year. 301. Okay, so he has 11 blocks in his last 100 minutes, and he had 4 in his first 200 minutes. So probably not going to block 7 shots a ball game. But one thing we are seeing is that he can probably get you 7-ish rebounds if he gets starter-ish type of minutes. So that's not terrible. Field goal percent, I'm going to assume here, is going to be above 50 because he's going to be near the rim, power forward, center type fantasy game, doesn't shoot that many threes. He has, you know, half a three-pointer. I guess he could crawl up just under 1 maybe in starters minutes, but the free throw is going to be bad. The assists are going to be non-existent. We don't really know about the steals yet. I'm not there for starting Noah Clowney yet. I'm not that far off, mind you. But the problem, of course, is that we only have 2 games to make this final decision. And so I'm going to take at least 1 game to figure out what the hell he could do. And then maybe I'd consider it for the last one. But even that feels iffy. Bobby Portis is an easy one. He's heavily rostered, so I don't know that he needed to be on this list. He's always been a streamwall hot guy when the Bucks are healthy. But when are the Bucks even really healthy? And then he's been a monster when Giannis is out. And Giannis is out for the rest of this regular season. So, Portis away. And then Jackson Hayes, while we wait on Anthony Davis status. Kyle Anderson popped him in the grill, and he's missed the last couple of ball games, or most of one, and then all of another. And Hayes will get you that typical compliment, and a very reliable big man type stats. He's not going to blow the roof off the building. He's not going to block a boatload of shots or anything. But they do, memory serves here, make sure I have the schedule in front of me. I'm pretty sure the Lakers have kind of a throwaway game today. Yeah, they're in Memphis favored by 15. AD might sit this ball game because they could win it without him, which would stink for our fantasy teams. But, you know, Lakers want to make sure he's fully healthy for what could be a very important game on Sunday. We'll see, I guess. In any event, if Jackson Hayes is starting, you can play him, and you can figure you'll probably get, you know, 4 dunks against a bad defense as I whack the table by accident. And against Memphis, this Memphis team, he'd probably get you a block, maybe 2, and probably 8-9 rebounds, something like that. So I think it'd be a pretty useful game if AD sits. Here are your ads. Grizzlies, they're heavy on the Grizzlies, especially here against the Lakers team that without Anthony Davis, if he sits, doesn't play any defense at all. Brandon Clark, who is the thumbnail picture for this show, he'll go crazy against an Anthony Davis-less Lakers. He'll probably shoot 5 out of 7, 6 out of 8, or something like that from the field. I would assume he'll get more than 1 rebound. That was kind of weird. He's more of like a 6-rebound kind of guy. He'll usually get a steal and a block. Pretty good at both of those. Great field goal percent, dude. So I think Brandon Clark, and I put games cap in parentheses, but at this point, the Grizzlies are playing today and Sunday, because everybody is. So there's kind of no reason to sit him, but I guess you never know. Jordan Goodwin, also on the Grizzlies, who we believe used up his last non-playing day, so now he should be able to get into these last 2 ball games. He's been a really interesting across-the-board kind of guy. Doesn't shoot the 3 ball very much. You know, there's a path for him to get you about 1 3-pointer a game in starters minutes, and that's fine. Field goal percent has been bad. That's sort of depressed his numbers a tad. But over the last 2 weeks, despite shooting 41% from the field, he's averaging 12 points, 11 boards, and 5 assists. So we're talking about like a Josh Hartian type of fantasy game with some upside in steals, kind of similar to what Josh Hart's doing. And maybe he shoots a little bit more here. as the Grizzlies continue to get thinner and thinner and thinner. I do love me some Jordan Goodwin. And then Scottie Pippen Jr. is the other one also on the Grizzlies. He will also probably not help you from the field goal percent standpoint, but he's top 90 over the last couple of weeks, 44.5% from the field, 12-3-5 with two steals a game and one three-pointer. That's actually been trending up over the last week. His minutes are in the 30s. He's a top 50 fantasy play over that stretch because the field goal percent has bounced up a little bit. He's shooting 48% over those last three or four ball games, 18-4-6 with a ridiculous and unsustainable three steals a ball game. But we don't need to find sustainability the last two games of the year. Anything can happen in a two-game sample size. And right now, Scottie Pippen Jr. is posting some serious numbers, so you should have him on your team. Grant Williams is the next one on the ads board because Nick Richards is back and Grant Williams is still starting. He is questionable for this game, however. So this is an if he plays situation, unfortunately. So I called him an ad and then noted that he's may or may not actually be in the lineup. If he plays, he's a go. He may or may not play. So don't add until the last second on Grant Williams if you haven't already. And then Patrick Beverley, who no Giannis and no Dame for this ball game. This is going to be like get wild, Pat. And for fantasy, that's usually pretty good. He might not shoot a great field goal percent. That's fine. You just swallow that down. He's a guard. He's a point guard who gets shot, who blocks shots, gets rebounds, hits threes. He's going to try to do as much as he can, provided he doesn't get hurt, which it does happen from time to time. They're in Oklahoma City. Should be a fun ball game. And Patrick Beverley should be doing a whole bunch of stuff. Quick reminder, mid-show again, please subscribe going into our off-season. I mean, honestly, even if you don't listen to every single show, just subscribe so that you know when they're dropping. I beg of you, however you take in these podcasts, specifically if you're watching them live on social media these days, and I've tried to do that the second half of this season just to kind of see what it would mean, kind of run an experiment. There were some shows where we had like 1,000 people watching live on Twitter, which was pretty crazy. For those of you that are still doing so, please go find a way to subscribe on one of the traditional channels because not every show is going to be live on Twitter in the off season, and I just don't want you guys to miss it. Plus, it's just a nice way to make sure that we're getting into your homes, into your earballs. You're not going to be on Twitter all the time anyway because basketball news isn't going to be happening all the time. Some strongholds. This is a quick one. This is sort of, remember in the middle of the season, the injury replacement board was sort of the list we could go through fast. That's this one now. The strongholds are the list we can go through quickly because they really don't need much in the way of explanation. A couple of these guys do, but not many. Denny Avdia, rolling. Kelly Olynyk, when he plays, rolling. TJ McConnell, rolling. Trayce Jackson-Davis, rolling. Rui Hachimura, especially if AD sits another ball game. Jalen Suggs is rolling. Max Strus could deserve a tiny explanation here. I just really like the way he's moved since coming back from his injury. He looks like a far healthier player now than when he went down. He's number 106 in 9-cat since coming back because he's not doing a ton of stuff, but he's at 13 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, and a steal on decent percentages. And honestly, he's being weighed down by having more turnovers than your typical 3-and-D guy over that stretch. But how bad is 2 turnovers a game anyway? So I just like the way Strus is moving right now. I think he'll have okay numbers here these last couple of ball games. Yes, he's a little bit more of a category hunter type. I'm giving away my last board for threes and some boards, some assists on percentages that are not going to hurt you, maybe even could help a little bit. So he's like a quiet across-the-board producer, and maybe that's not what you need right now, but he's useful, and I think he belongs on rosters. Isaiah Hartenstein is in the strongholds board, and then he just got ruled out like 5 minutes ago as we were going on air. Thank you, universe. Okay, it was like a half hour ago, but whatever. So, yeah, obviously you can't play him if he's out. Sad trombone. But I still think you should hold on to him, assuming he plays in their last ball game of the year, because he's just been incredible lately. How did Banton get in this one? He should have been on the injury replacement board. Fix that, Dan. Oh, don't worry. We'll fix it. There you go. Fixed it live. Gary Trent Jr., because without a back-to-back here, I'm hoping he plays in the Raptors' last couple of ballgames, just like Olynyk. And then Andrew Wiggins is playing pretty well for the Warriors right now. But let's get to the fun little new tweak on today's show, and that is the Category Hunters board. These are players that I deem to be good enough in the non-category hunting categories. I'm saying this word a lot in a row. Probably should have thought that sentence through. But are good enough in the categories that they're strong at to where you can get away with playing them. Meaning, these are largely guys that are going to sit somewhere between 100 and 200 in rank. They're not so good, most of them. One or two names in here maybe clears the bar for just start wherever. Meaning, like, if somebody's, you know, top 85 or better, you pretty much just play them unless you totally don't need what they're bringing to the board. Because there have been, you know, final week of the year, there have been leagues where I benched superstars in favor of a specialist. Like, I always tell this story right around this time of the year on every podcast. There was a season, I honestly can't remember what year it was anymore. It was before COVID. So, you know, BC, effectively. I benched Damian Lillard the final weekend in favor of Patrick Beverley. This can't be so long ago that these guys didn't exist. Like, the same guys are still in the NBA. But I was nowhere near it. This is a roto league, because head-to-head, you know, bleep head-to-head final week of the year. So roto league, and I was looking at the numbers, and there was no one on either side of me within, like, 15 or 20 threes, and no one was within, like, 200 points of me on either side. So, like, playing Dame on the last day of the season, where, frankly, that was a Wednesday at that point. It was before the play-in tournament. In all likelihood, he probably wasn't going to play the entire ball game anyway. And, yeah, obviously, even part of a game of Damian Lillard was going to be a better fantasy game than Patrick Beverley, because he was going to score a ton, he was going to hit some threes, he was going to be a big free throw bump. But I looked at the stats on my Roto League, and I was like, I'm not moving up or down in free throws, points, or threes. Or turnovers, frankly. The only categories I had any shot of moving in on that last day were rebounds and blocks. And I think maybe assists was not totally set in stone. But then I looked at my roster and I was like, okay, I'm going to do something totally nuts right now. And I'm yanking Damian Lillard in favor of Patrick Beverley. I took out a top 10 fantasy player for a guy who was ranked like, I don't remember what Bev was at that point that year. He's probably around the edge of the top 100. Idiotic thing to do in January, and one of the most brilliant things I've ever done in my fantasy life in mid-April. Because over those last two or three ball games, I think it was like the last week of the season I did this, Dame, I'm sure Dame scored like 150 points. I don't remember what it was exactly, but Beverley averaged 8 or 9 rebounds over that week. And the reason this was a big deal, because I'm sure some of you are like, Dan, why didn't you just like start 4 centers? 2 centers in your center slots and 2 centers in your utility slot. I did. But it was also really important for me to get rebounds out of other positions as well. So I had like a power forward center in the power forward spot. I had 2 centers in utility. I had 2 centers in the center spots. I had the biggest small forward I could find. But then the real key was starting guards that had a chance to get me 7 rebounds. 6, 7, 8 rebounds. Instead of a guard that was going to get 4. And I think Dame probably got, I think he probably averaged like 4.5 rebounds a game over that stretch, because he's not a terrible rebounding point guard during his Portland time. He's just like out there on the floor long enough to get his 4 and change to 5 rebounds. But the difference between Dame getting 4.5 rebounds versus Pat Bev getting like 7.5, that ended up as a dozen rebounds over that last week. On the very last day of the regular season, the teams that I was chasing didn't see me coming. And I jumped 2 teams in Roto on the very last day in rebounds. I gained 2 Roto points, and playing Pat Beverley over Damian Lillard was one of the big reasons that I did it. It got me first place in that league. I think I jumped from 3rd to 1st place over that last week also, And I wouldn't have gotten all the way there without those rebounding roto points. So this is a week, it was a long story, to just say, this is a week where you guys need to be attacking categories, even if from a rank standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. The guys that I like right now as really interesting one or mono or duo or whatever category guys are Dennis Schroeder, who is a pretty good assists play with a smattering of points. And if the Nets continue to pull the plug on some guys after half a ball game, he could actually be better than that. Trey Mann in Charlotte for so Schroeder's like, you almost have to do like a heat map for these dudes. Dennis Schroeder is a heat map. So he's better than warm. Maybe we should do it in rank, like a 1, 2, or 3. He's like a 3 assists stream and like a 1 points play, but not a whole lot else. Trey Mann is like a 1 in boards, assists, and steals, but not much more than that. Jabari Walker is a solid 2 to 3 in rebounding and very little else, like a 1 in points probably. Scoot Henderson is a 3 in assists. Better, I would say, than Dennis Schroeder, frankly, in that one. So maybe, Dennis, we should bump down to a 2. Scoot is also a 1 in points. He's also a negative in percentages, so you really have to weigh that in. Malachi Branham, I think he actually just got ruled out for this season, so we should probably get him off the board. That happened, what, right before we went on air? What was the deal with Branham? Concussion. Yeah, he's probably out. Sorry, Malachi, going to take you off the list. Another sad trombone here right in the middle of the podcast. G.G. Jackson. All right, so you can't get Malachi Branham. Just get the guy with the same profile. Points and threes. He's a 2. He's a 2 rank on those. Obviously a negative in some other stuff. DeAndre Hunter is probably a 2 in points. Maybe a... that's about it. Make you give him like a 1 in rebound? No, I don't think he's good enough to be a rebound. Yeah, just go with points. Maybe give him like a 1 in percentages. Omer Yurtseven is a 2 in rebounds. He's a 1 in field goal percent, so you get a little bit of those. Keon Ellis is a 2 in steals. And as a guard, you kind of have to give him a 1 in blocks and possibly boards also. And Vasilije Micic is a 2 in assists, and that's about it. But you can play this game with yourself. You can look at, and there's other names that probably get close to being category hunters. These are just the ones where I thought were legitimately good enough in any one or two things to say, okay, these guys could actually help my team in those categories. A positive, not a baby positive, something significant where it makes sense to play them. And also, with the exception, I guess, of maybe Scoot Henderson, are not so horrible in other categories to where they're going to obliterate your team. But again, these last 2 weeks, it's not something you have to worry about quite as much. Now, for me in Roto Leagues, I'm always hunting percentages, so I have a lot of trouble playing a guy like Scoot, even if he is the most helpful in assists of anybody we just talked about. I'd probably rather go Micic or Schroeder if I'm looking for assists on this board, just because I don't think they're going to hurt me as much in some of the other stuff. Scoot helps more. He helps more in assists, but he hurts more in the others. By the way, Dennis Schroeder just got listed as questionable with a sore Achilles. That was also news from the morning. I know there's like 1,000 things that have broken already today. And that, of course, is the last thing that we need to talk about here. No matter what you're doing with the information I just brought you on today's show, you need to be checking the injury reports constantly, whether that's Underdog or Ethos Fantasy BK, because ours at Ethos is going to have analysis that goes with it. Okay, this guy's out. Here's what you should do with that information. You got to be glued to that stuff. And, sometimes if I walk away from my computer, I'll check the Underdog feed just to see how many things have happened. And already this morning, what do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, still going, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 pieces of injury news. Guys that, not all of them are out, but guys being listed as questionable, guys that shoot around, all that kind of stuff. 26 today already, and it ain't even lunchtime on the West Coast yet. Ooh, boy. Yeah. So you think you want to pay attention to that stuff? I do. Quick check of the chat room. Omer Yurtseven, Trey Jones, Peyton Pritchard, Bruno Fernando, which two to stream today? Looking for field goal percent, rebounds, and points. Well, I already told you rebounds and field goal percent. Omer Yurtseven is going to be a solid one for that. I don't know that any of the guys you posted are going to be that great at scoring. Your best bet there is probably Pritchard. Trey Jones would get you some rebounds and probably a neutral field goal percent. But if you're looking for a positive in field goal percent and rebounds, Yurtseven is your guy. And then Pritchard actually probably hurts you in those, but he's your positive in points. Trey Jones is probably the other one, if I'm picking here, because he'll get you some points, some field goal percent, some rebounds, doesn't hurt you much. Oh, by the way, he added Trey Jameson to the mix. Yeah, I mean, obviously you go with the two centers. You could, although I don't know that Trey Jameson is going to beat Jones in field goal percent. He'll beat him in rebounds. I think I go Yurtseven and Jones. And that's my play. Patrick says, I'm going to miss these daily recaps during the offseason, but I'm on the verge of winning my first fantasy championship. So huge. Thank you for all your hard work and entertaining content all season. Patrick, you are most welcome. I would ask you and anybody that's watching this show that has enjoyed it or listening to it, again, please go subscribe on a traditional non-video pod channel so that you can get everything we do during the offseason. That is the big favor I'm asking of you here as we wind down the regular season. And I keep wanting to just talk about random crap so that I don't have to say it, but I have to say it. Guys, thank you. Another regular season in the books. This is our seventh full regular season with the actual Fantasy NBA Today show title. We did the last month and a half of 2016, I think. We didn't have our own pod feed at that point. I did some shows with Brew. I did some shows with Vince Miracle. It wasn't until December of 2016, I think, that we actually physically, we signed up for, at that point, Libsyn, which is a podcast hosting platform that made you pay, which was super whack, but we did it. We got Fantasy NBA Today, its own pod channel. We had a couple hundred listeners for our first few shows, and to grow into the many thousands that tune in daily, weekly, monthly, over a million annually that we've gotten to these days, well over, by the way, if you put all the different feeds together, pretty incredible stuff. So thank you all. I appreciate every single one of you from the bottom of my heart. I try to do every single podcast, like one new listener is with us on any given day. I love the interaction. I love the chat room use. I love that you guys help share this, even though you know it's going to make your lives more difficult when your league mates find you sharing it. I love the reviews. I love the subscriptions. And I love getting to do it every day. And I love doing the off-season shows, even if I don't love them quite as much as doing the in-season stuff. Off-season's going to be fun, though. We got a lot of stuff lined up here the first couple of months. We will be breaking down the Dan Vesper's Old Man Squad player by player. And we had like 40 names on it this year. So we're going to look at the wins. We're going to look at the losses. We're going to figure out why certain things went well or wrong. We're going to learn from every single moment. We're going to do the same thing with the Yahoo pre-rank board. So we know how to assess that going into each following year and compare it to how Yahoo did in previous seasons as well. We're going to do lessons learned from a season gone by. We love to do a few shows on that front. We'll talk to some other folks here at Sports Ethos, find out what they learned from this season. We'll go through the teams, do some team recaps, figure out how various clubs got to the fantasy information that they did. We'll talk some playoff betting as we work our way through the actual, reality basketball playoffs. We'll talk NBA draft. We'll talk NBA free agency. We will talk anything the world throws our direction. Breaking news is always a fun one since that's chews up an episode. And yes, at some point in all of this, I will take a day off. I don't know when, though. It ain't going to be Monday. Hell no. Keith, my man, I know you're a loyal. I've been listening for over half a decade, Dan. Love the grind. What are your off-season plans? I want to do a fantasy show on YouTube, too. Oh, well, we're probably not going to start any daily fantasy shows here at Sports Ethos because that's sort of this. But Keith, reach out. We're always looking for new ideas. You know, there's doing more niche stuff is super fun. Mark is running our Dynasty show. If there's some other angle that you're looking at, hit me up over on Twitter or hit me up in the content, comments section with a way to get in touch with you. And who the hell knows? Maybe this offseason will be the start of your fantasy journey as well. Thank you, everybody. Love you all. I will talk to you on Monday when the off season begins. I am Dan Vesperus. Later.